doing some various maintenance activities. They've got a tour with some, sounds like with some Oregon senators and legislatures coming up. So they've been busy doing that. Here on the South Sandy Am, we've been operating the trap weekly. We've got 204 total winter steelhead as of last week, 1,097 summer steelhead, and 147 spring Chinook. 29 of those springers have been unmarked and outplanted upriver. The contractors just completed the mod work, and we had the final walkthrough last week with your staff. I was there, and then the contractors. So I think pretty much most everything's been signed off on, and a few small repairs need to be done by Foster maintenance staff, but we're coordinating those activities with them, and that's going very well so far. We've also, on the Sandy Ams, we've been trying to get take care of the Grand Ronde tribal allocation. So due to the lower spring Chinook numbers this year, adults, we've been giving them rerun steelheads. So that's been working out so far. So we're well on our way to meeting those allocations. And then that's about it for the Sandy Ams. On the McKenzie, find my McKenzie sheet. Here we go. Adult collection was good last week. They were basically able to double their female broodstock collection, so they're up to 603 adults total. Well behind last year, but like I said, this year is definitely a different year. And they've been surplus in a few of the excess smaller males to a food bank, but most everything they've been collecting has been going for broodstock. And on the Middle Fork Willamette, they've had a total of 2,371 Chinook as of last week. Most of their fish are going to brood as well.
Hey Brett, what was the number of Chinook?
2,371 as of end of last week. Mm-hmm. And they've been, most of their fish have been going to brood. They've also been allocated to, or I guess designated to, haul an allocation of fish to the Malheur River for the Burns Paiute tribe. So they hauled their last load over there last week, so they're done with that. And summer steelhead wise, they've had a total of 412 summer steelhead. They've been recycling some of those fish, and then they've also been using some of those to take care of the Celeste tribal allocation. So that's about it for those facilities.
Did that transport go okay?
Say that again?
That transport to Malheur go okay?
Yeah, sounds like it went really well. It was really well received. The folks over there really appreciated it, and they caught some fish, so sounds like it went real well.
All right. Any questions regarding hatchery updates?
Yeah, this is Cameron. On the North Sandy Am, one of the things that's outstanding is the installation of the weir panels on Horn and Marion Creek. The weir panels were completed early this week. They're ready to be delivered and installed. We'll start that on Thursday. On the South Sandy Am, until we do that, we won't be outplanting, but we should be outplanting sometime, I think, in the middle of July in the North Sandy Am. And the South Sandy Am, of course, we're outplanting hatchery Chinook, and we're starting to do some surveys up there. One of the issues that's come up that was brought up at the hatchery management team meeting was the outbreak of IHN on steelhead at the South Sandy Am. That's pretty bad news. On the McKenzie, we're going to go ahead and do the follow-up sampling for the water supply because they reconstructed the feed from Cogswell Creek. So we took some water samples prior to that construction, and now that it's done, we'll go back in and we'll see if there are any changes in the water chemistry as expected with the new installation. In the Middle Fork, today is the first day we're going to start outplanting clipped Chinook to the North Fork, Middle Fork. The core staff, Doug and Chad, are arranging it right now. My crew's on site as we speak, getting DNA samples from those fish. But we've also got permission to outplant unclipped fish to the North Fork, Middle Fork, and we put a few up. I haven't got the current total. Last week it was only 4 unclipped Chinook into the North Fork, Middle Fork. Tomorrow we're scheduled to do the first outplant of clipped Chinook into the Middle Fork above Hills Creek. That may not happen. The lib truck is broken, and if it gets fixed, we'll do it. If it's not fixed, then we're going to have to wait until next week to transport fish to the Middle Fork. That's all.
Cam, can you repeat what you said about outplanting Chinook in the South Santiago?
Yeah, he said hatchery fish. We're only outplanting, like I said, unmarked fish above into the South Fork.
Okay, I was doing a double take here.
Yeah, I was as well. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. And then on the I didn't know we were going into the facilities themselves, but yeah, we did break with IHN and our summer. It was just our summer steelhead juveniles that are on site. We're getting hit really hard. And pathology has made the decision just to go ahead and ride the outbreak out and see where we land, and then we'll have to kind of regroup at the end, try to see where we have some surpluses in other programs, and then try to kind of pool what's left and figure out how we're going to allocate those releases later on. So we're kind of in that stage of that piece of it.
Kim, how many fish are you outplanting in the North Fork, Middle Fork?
We don't know the total right now because we don't know how many fish will be coming to the ladder. We've got permission to reduce the total number to, I believe it's about 650. Bernadette?
Yeah, I just didn't know how many you had on for this first batch.
We looked in the pond and it looked like there were about 400 fish. They're going to take 2 loads, which is 120 fish today.
Anything else hatchery-wise?
Was there any lamprey collected at any facility?
Not this year, no.
We have our lamprey counts for Bennett Dams, but no collection of them. 90 lamprey have gone up through upper and lower Bennett Dams so far this year. 19.
Lawrence, we're fishing the same traps that we did last year at Fall Creek. Last year we caught 4, haven't captured any this year so far.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Anything else hatchery-wise? All right. Did you want to give the HGMP update, or...?
I can. So for the, well, Cam probably can as well. Okay. But for the core side of the HGMPs, they are in their final internal review stage. And I understand the manager's forum will be scheduled soon. And then they should be able to be submitted to NOAA.
And that's where we are. And we just learned at the hatchery management team that Jane is the formatter for those documents. And
well, I've got one done. I am working on South Sanium next, and beyond that, I'm not sure what'll happen. But
on behalf of the tech team, we want to say first that we're sorry. And second,
I accept gifts.
Well, that'll bring her back here quick.
I'm almost back, Greg.
All right, moving on to research updates. Fenton and Rich couldn't be here. The only news I have is that there's an Army meeting tomorrow. I have to look up the date and time, but it's here in the building.
10 to 3.
Okay, thanks. 8th floor, HDC conference room.
Is that on the calendar?
Hey, Chris, I can't hear you at all. I don't know if...
I'll speak up. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. If Rich or Fenton put it on the calendar, it would be on there, but I don't know if they did or not.
Check. What are you talking about? What did they put on the calendar? I can't hear you either.
The RMNA meeting that's scheduled tomorrow from 10 to 3.
Okay. Yeah, I know about that.
Is that better, Stephanie?
I thought we were on, are we on 4.3?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is that better? And hearing
me, senor.
Okay. All right, I will try to project. Anything water quality wise?
Nothing new. I assume everyone knows, but we did reduce outflows out of Cougar to about 250 CFS, and that's to extend the operation of the water temperature control tower. And by that, by doing, completing that flow reduction, will extend the use of that tower through the probably till the end of August. So it's about a 1 month extension. So we're essentially passing inflow. That's the only real news I have. Otherwise, same old, same old.
Do you have a feel for how long we're going to maintain that at Detroit? Billy Crest?
I don't recall.
Maybe Mary Karen does. Okay. Mary Karen, how about a flow update?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good.
Good, good. So, let's see. In the Willamette, we really drafted the project, as you guys all know, and we're only about 58-59% full, and total inflow is about 3,000, and we're still releasing about 5,600 CFS. Our Salem flow average is still doing really good. Today it was about 8,800 CFS. The day, and the week average is about 9,400 CFS. In terms of your Detroit question, let me go pull up a graph. We'll probably be able to do the temperature control for a couple more weeks.
Okay.
That's about it.
And that's the use of the SPOY. So then we'll transition to powerhouse only, and then as we move into fall, we'll be able to cool things down with the upper RO.
Okay.
So.
Thank you. Next item, Pinniped update. What do you have, W?
Sorry, I think they're all gone.
Okay.
From a couple weeks ago, there were like one or two.
Okay.
They've pretty much taken off from the falls.
Huh.
They're full.
Yeah, they're full. They're going to do other things.
So is that an indication?
Can we take that off the agenda for the next one?
Sure.
Over. It's over.
They're gone till next winter.
So is that an indicator that the run's dying off? Or?
Oh, I think it's they come and feed for a while, and then they go to their
breeding grounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it happens every year. They just kind of all take off.
Okay.
May.
Hey, Brett, what are you guys seeing for injuries on fish this year?
Say that again. Seeing as far as marks on fish?
Yeah, are you seeing any pinniped injuries this year?
Yeah, really heavy on our summer steelhead.
Huh. Now, we're seeing very few of them at Fall Creek, and typically we see a lot of them. So,
yeah,
I know
the summer steelhead are pretty beat up.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know what to chalk that up to. It's just weird.
Yeah.
So that's injuries. Is there any information on mortalities?
No.
Yeah, it wouldn't be on our end.
I guess
not affecting the
dead fish tell no tales, I suppose.
They've been monitoring the sea lions at Willamette Falls. This is the, I think, third year of monitoring, and they do a consumption estimate and expansion based on what they see during the monitoring time. So that report usually comes out several months after the monitoring ended.
Thank you for that.
All right, moving on to BPA updates. Anything, Dan?
Yes, I have met with BPA's transmission people just to try to get a formalized accounting of when sort of the fish operation periods are, so that the transmission people are aware of them, so they can do their best to schedule transmission outages that may affect project operations around those times. And the ball is in my court to kind of put together a chart for them. So I'm working on that, and then hopefully they'll be able to use that in the future. We can update it once a year if there are no fish operations, and hopefully that will just become kind of a part of the standard way that we do things.
Gotcha.
With some information sharing.
And then I assume that's something we'd throw into the WFOP?
Yes.
No.
No? Okay,
no,
my thought was at least... Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Tammy.
So you'd bring the updates each month because while you may set it once a year, those tend to change a lot. And so then it wouldn't go into the WFOP because that is such a flexible schedule.
So similar to our outages that we have for our maintenance then.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Usually the planning is not done unless there's an emergency, obviously, but the sort of scheduled maintenance is done kind of on a yearly or even two-yearly sort of schedule. So if it were to change dramatically within a month, that might not be timely. So it's definitely something I'd have the group review, but I think from a practical planning perspective, it would be kind of an annual sort of guidance or a regular guidance, and if it changed a lot on a monthly basis, that probably wouldn't be very actionable.
So I think what we do on the FCRPS is, unless it has a fish impact or it's going to violate the FPP on the Columbia, we don't hear about it and we don't need to know about it.
Yeah.
But if you find something that will have an impact and maybe you notice it 3 months out, then we usually discuss it, at least on the Columbia FPOM, and try to figure out if there's ways to either reschedule or what the mitigation might be for fish impacts.
Okay.
All right. Next item, Cougar Fish Facility pumps. An update on that. For those that don't know, that facility requires 3 pumps to operate. One pump is down, so if another pump goes down, we wouldn't be able to operate the facility. There's a contract within our office that's supposed to be awarded tomorrow, so that'll be a good thing in terms of having that redundancy in place. Any questions in regards to any of the updates that were made? Or the last one?
Chris, about the Cougar pumps. Do you have something written up about that? When that's going to happen and all that kind of
thing? I didn't write anything up. It was all email traffic that I got actually in the last couple of days.
Okay.
I mean, right now, the facility is operating completely normally.
Okay.
But, if one of those existing pumps is down, then we're going to be...
So you're just going to have an extra pump. Is that what you're saying? I'm kind of hard to...
Well, there's always 3 pumps on site, but it takes 2 to run the facility. And so what we're trying to do is get the 3rd pump back in play so that if one pump goes down, then we have that redundancy. So it's trying to get the redundancy back up.
Okay.
And running.
So it wouldn't affect the current operations, assuming they're able to just repair it and have it ready to go.
Correct. Yep.
All right.
All right, coordination forms.
So the first one, 5.1, was a coordination form in regards to spillway gate work at Blue River Dam, I believe this fall. Comments are due June 30. And I'll just kind of blast through these, and if there are any questions about any of them, we can talk about them. I'd imagine there would be more for the foster fish ladder mortality MFR that we'll talk about.
Yep.
So the next one, we talked about it briefly. Cam mentioned that we're decreasing out plenty numbers in the North Fork, Middle Fork. The current target is about 675 fish. However, that number is in flux in terms of what we can actually do. I'll skip to the last MFR, which is in regards to the flow planning and changes that we made over the last month or so. We've been balancing main stem flows at Salem, but we've also made some decreases in the North Santiam and in the South Fork McKenzie, as mentioned earlier, to extend the temperature operation. So that's that. The last MFR was in regards to the mortalities that were observed at the Foster Fish facility when they took down the ladder. I don't know how much folks know about that, but basically the time of year wasn't good in terms of that many fish being in the ladder. There were some things that maybe we could do in the future operationally, and we're still kind of working through those details as to how we can prepare. Yeah, we can not take the ladder down during peak season, but we're not going to always know, you know, necessarily how many fish are in the ladder. So we'll work through those in terms of what we can do. Any questions? I guess primarily focusing on the foster fish ladder mortality, MFR.
So are you guys going to write something more up? I mean, I know you wrote something and Ed asked.
Yeah, so I received additional information from Brett Boyd, which I'll add. We're also discussing improving the dewatering plan. I guess Brett has an SOP that he follows, but maybe we can add to that in terms of more specific operations that we can do, whether it's decreasing ladder flow by 50%, or perhaps an idea might be to somehow crowd fish out of those lower or flat areas of the ladder. The details basically of what we'd do in the future. So I guess the form of that would be the dewatering plan and refining that.
So are you going to send that out once you work through it or something?
Yeah, so I'll update the MFR, and then once we get around to refining what we think we should do in the future, that'll go out for review as well.
So we probably need a timeline for that. So rather than when you get around to it, but by...
That's fine. I mean, it'll definitely be in place before we take the ladder down.
But how soon do you think we could have dewatering plans ready for Wolf Palm review?
Not next month, but the following month? I don't know. It's going to take me sitting down with Brett and Greg, and...
I've got old ones, Chris, that we can work off of, that were modeled off the Columbia I wrote years and years ago.
And then also, not only that, the follow-up to that would be getting the equipment in place that we need for future.
Okay, so how about by the October Wolf Palm meeting?
Oh, yeah.
You'll have them ready, because then we'll have them reviewed and they can be referenced in the WFL.
Right, yeah, for sure then. Okay. I just wasn't sure how soon we thought we needed a final product, because it'll definitely be a work in progress for the next few months.
And that's
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks.
Any other questions in regards to any of the MFRs or MOCs? All right. Fish operations plan. Item 6.
Where are we on that?
We're not as far as I would have wanted to be by the time I am leaving. So that will be, I imagine, something that Erin will spend some time on when she comes in.
Probably not.
Chris? Somebody?
Yeah. So you don't get her back, Greg, until she gets this done.
Let me know.
Yeah. Hey now!
All right. Well, how far have you gotten?
I need to talk to you about that.
Okay.
I talked to Chris about it. I think there's been some confusion.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So that isn't ready yet.
It's not
ready
yet.
We'll see how it goes next month.
Yeah, sorry.
So until then, we're still using the 2015 WFOP. All right, on to task group updates. Are there, before you get to your Marsanium, are there any updates for groups that are not meeting today?
So there's a flow management water quality team meeting with the larger group on June 29th, and that's from 2:30 to 3:30, and that's a conference call. It'll be a general update in terms of where we're at. Hatchery management team met last week, and I'm not sure if Andy's scheduled a reoccurring meeting or not, and I'm not sure if he scheduled the meeting for next month yet or not.
think he deleted it from the calendar.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah,
that's what I saw. But I don't.
I saw okay. that.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know
so.
If that was intended.
And I don't know if it's going to be more of like, you know, a task group where we do it as it's, we think it's needed. Because right now we're doing updates there and updates here, which is fine. But typically we do a lot of the fish disposition planning there, Harmony type stuff that's related to hatcheries there. So we'll see kind of what form that takes in the future with the Wolf Palm up and running. And I don't have an update in regards to the flow task group that Rich Piaskowski coordinated. Workshop was put on. I know that's integrated now with the Willamette Basin Review, which they're looking at how we allocate water. And I don't, Stephanie, I don't know if you have anything to add in terms of kind of where that's headed or where they're at.
Well, there was a small group working on aquatic habitat and fish, and they kind of completed and came up with some recommendations. And then there's another group working on herps and other stuff. There's a bunch of different groups meeting, and I'm not really sure what their timeline is for getting that work done. But okay. And I think Rich was trying to get some funds to allocate to get some analyses done with this fiscal year. So it's kind of moving along.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically it. Are there any questions in regards to the task groups that we have, what they're up to, when they're meeting?
Are you guys keeping a calendar up still?
Yes. I may not have posted it recently to the website, though. I apologize for that. I will get that updated today.
Oh, good. Thanks.
All right, so for folks that want to stay on, unless there's any last-minute questions, we're going to talk about North Sandham temperature targets, I guess, in the next 5 minutes. I got to just hook up my computer to the TV and we can roll with it.
Hey, Chris, I got one quick question for Cam and or Brett.
Okay.
Cam, is it your sense that Mackenzie's going to have fish to outplant above Cougar Mission?
Yeah, I think we will. We might not reach the target of 400 females. How are you sitting for unclipped Chinook action?
Well, we're getting fish back, but we're recycling them all right now, and I guess that's why I'm asking the question.
So we're going to save fish for that. Of course, it's an unusual year. We don't know for a fact that we'll certainly have 400 pairs, or I'm sorry, 400 females and 200 males, but there will be some.
Okay. Well, I mean, the time for us to do something about that is now versus when it's too late. So I think it's something we discuss at some point.
You want to talk about it offline then?
Some other forum. Get Jeff or...
Yeah, let me touch base with Kirk Kremers first, and then I'll give you a call.
Okay, cool.
Hi, this is Natalie. I thought I probably won't stay on for the rest of the call, but I wanted to let you know about Fall Creek. So we awarded the project, and then we have contractors' protests. So we're trying to work through those issues. Contracting office has sent out what they think is the path forward. So I can't really tell you much of the details, but I just wanted to let you know it is protested.
What does that mean? I mean, they protested the person who got the award or someone who didn't get the award?
Somebody who didn't get the award protested.
Oh, and so then you can't move forward with what you've already done?
We can't move forward. We can't issue the notice to proceed to the contractor that we awarded to.
Oh, no.
Right, so we're hoping that with contracting's path forward, that the resolution of this will occur quickly, but we have no idea. So stay tuned.
Okay.
That's all I had.
Thanks.
Thank you, Natalie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll add Fall Creek as a regular update to the agenda.
Okay. If there's nothing else for me, I'm going to end. I'm going to get off.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, I'm going to head to TMT.
Okay. Have fun.
Am I taking notes on this next portion?
Yep.
Okay.
Later.
All right.
See ya.
So I will apologize up front that I personally did not read the email, and I just read the agenda, and I didn't realize this task group had been scheduled until Elise said something to me that she couldn't come, and then Greg said he couldn't come, so I...
It's not entirely your fault, because I had it as an agenda item,
yeah,
and then it got deleted.
Yeah. So I guess we can talk today, but it would be good to have those folks in the room, and probably Ann Mullen as well, so...
I think Dan Turner wanted to be involved too, yeah, since he's done a lot of the numerical modeling.
So it might be good to... I don't want to postpone it too long, but... if there's a way to do a doodle or something to make sure those folks,
yep,
can attend, I think that.
Yeah, we can do that. Do we want to talk about it or not?
So Chris, it almost sounds like it's a, if maybe I'm missing there, but it sounds like it's almost a non-issue. If we're going to be not doing temperature control here much longer.
Well, that's for this year, but I mean, the idea is, you know, like, right?
Is this a long-term proposal?
I think so.
That's my understanding.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's my understanding that we're actually changing temperature, or there's a proposal to adjust temperature targets. Primarily, the differences between our current targets and what's proposed are the temperatures during the summer, which I'm not on web meeting, but if you looked at the documentation that I sent out, essentially, during the summer, what's being proposed is cooler than our current targets, and there are implications for that in terms of how fish are going to behave, how they're collected, general impacts on them as well.
Yeah, so I think the intent is to try to reduce some of the pre-spawn mortality and disease issues that occur in the lower river while trying to balance, recognizing that, you know, the more cool water you use earlier, you're left with more warm water later. But
right.
So, I mean, you guys had done this initial modeling, looking at the temperature as we had proposed, and that was helpful. And then we had sent some, you know, kind of, well, maybe we don't need to go as low as this, you know, mm-hmm, what if we backed off on the lower end, and, you know, some additional questions we had. So I think, you know, we're open to discussion about it, but would like to have some, you know, this kind of thing is helpful to see, you know, what the changes actually result,
yeah,
in.
So what we did, just an idea, what we did in the Middle Fork is, where we started was, what's the most important, what are the priorities, what's our ultimate goal? So if our ultimate goal is to have cool incubation temperatures, then that would be our first priority, or maybe our first priority is upstream, you know, migration, so hitting 52-ish degrees by a certain date. So I think in terms of modeling different scenarios, if as a work group we came up with, this is our number one goal, this is our number two goal, blah, 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 mm-hmm, and start there, then we can start to see the give and take.
Yeah.
Of different operations, and that might be the better way to go about it than, you know, let's try this number and then no, let's try this number.
Yeah.
I think it'll be easier if we lay out our goals.
Sure.
First.
I guess when we discussed this, you know, we were looking at the difference in the incubation temperatures that resulted, and it didn't seem like there was that big of a difference. Like, we know that the incubation is accelerated because of the warm water pump, and it didn't seem like you get that much of an worsening of the condition.
So you're talking about this,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
here. So where,
so it's
in
like
the
just
fall,
a
where we usually see that hump.
Yeah.
When you look at it visually with the different targets, it doesn't look like there's much of a difference.
Yeah.
But you also have to realize when he modeled it, he used the max.
Right.
So we're leaning towards that maximum, whereas maybe next time you might want to do the medium.
Yeah, I mean,
or just consider how you interpret it when we're looking at how cold water will impact fish as well.
Yeah.
So we can kind of.
Yeah, and I mean, I trust Dan, but I'd like to double check it out as well.
because we've made some errors in the past, and it just didn't seem like it. And I guess the other thing is we picked a peak date for the spawn, which is great. It looked like a good peak date, but there's a hell of a lot of fish that are spawning earlier that are more affected. The earlier the fish spawn, the more affected they're going to be. And then I'd like to throw in that nobody mentioned steelhead, which are being affected by this as well. So we're actually pushing out the emergence timing on the steelhead by cooling things off, so which I think has ramifications and should be considered in
So I know that ODFNW had requested additional modeling, but like you said, it would be good to get what our goals and priorities are out there.
And Dan's in Italy for the rest of this month, so nothing's going to happen until July anyway.
Perfect.
Yeah. Why does he have his computer?
Well, I mean, maybe kind of getting a date on the calendar when the right folks can be in the room and identifying some of these questions so people can come prepared to discuss.
Yeah.
And I think the idea of looking, you know, this is the Chinook blocks here, maybe having the steelhead blocks up there too would be helpful.
And I think it'd be good to bring, if we can, bring some of the additional data to the table. I mean, we ran the Sandham dam in place without a temperature control operator for a long time. And so certainly there's a lot of pre-spawning mortality data like that were collected that, you know, we could compare some of that with, you know, the 07 on since we've been doing temp operation. You know, what we would expect.
You're cutting out a little bit, Greg.
I think it'd be good if we have that meeting, we can get the right people there and bring some of the data. I mean, these colder temp operations are, you know, sort of a step back in terms of looking a lot more like what the dam in place sort of temperature scenario, out of temp op. So,
and I don't think that's
a lot of data from
the goal.
Yeah.
Back then, we had lots of pre-spawning mortality back then. So I think we need to, you know, bring all that we can to the table and look at it.
Okay.
So, Greg, if I'm hearing you correctly, the data from temperatures associated with the dam, also the colder temperatures also showed high pre-spawning mortality?
Well, no, there were lots of years prior to 2007 that there was very high pre-spawning mortality in the North Sandy.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
The whole mystery fish. What happened to the fish that, you know, that crossed Bennett and didn't show up at Pinto?
Okay.
And I don't know if Dan right now has been modeling conditions based on our current capabilities versus looking long term and if and when we have a selective withdrawal structure in place. So, you know, that's another thing is what can we do in the near term and then what can we do in the future?
And I also don't have a feel for the design stuff that's going on right now in terms of, I assume they're using their current target
yes,
info.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
And how flexible that is, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's proposing to go back to the pre-temperature operation conditions, but cutting off the kind of high peaks on the current targets where you're getting above 60 degrees, I think, is what Greg was most concerned with. But obviously,
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Brenda. Sorry.
And it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the way we avoid that hump in the fall is by running a little warmer in the summer to get that warm water off?
Yeah, it's definitely a give and take. And I think having those, you know, discussions about priorities and will really kind of help steer us. And
yeah, and but understanding the magnitude of that difference too, I mean, understanding if you save that warm water, it's going to come out in the fall, but if that changes the emergent state by 3 days, you know, and you're already 3 weeks off, then what's, you know, is that a big deal?
Right. Right.
Versus having higher pre-spawn mortality, if that's the case, earlier in the season where, you know, those fish don't make it to spawning.
Right. And some of that stuff is so hard to definitively say, like, oh, that, you know, we hit this temperature, that's it, you know, mortality during this, you know. So, yeah, it's totally a balancing act, and we'll just get smart people together and figure it out.
We can talk about this at a future meeting. Greg mentioned impacts on steelhead emergence, but one of my concerns was the minimum proposed target being fairly cool and impacting adult migration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, I think that's one of the things we were looking at, is maybe we didn't need to be as low on the minimum side.
So going up with,
okay. So I think it's open to discussion. We just like to have the conversation.
Okay. So I'll throw together a doodle, probably after Dan gets back.
Yeah, right, yeah. Although
I mean, it's not urgent. Right. We're not doing it this year. Yeah. But we should keep moving forward if we
definitely
think we need to discuss it further. Yeah. And then I'll work with folks on the agenda again with the goals, what our priorities are, and they may differ. And then getting, like Greg said, getting the right people in the room and the data on the table as well.
And can you explain the restrictions on the lower RO use? I know you had mentioned
that. Yeah, so the lower ROs are not safe to operate until we're at minimum conservation pool elevation. And so, forgetting 2015 for a moment, we're typically never at minimum conservation pool elevation until the reservoir has turned over. So it's really cooled off, and by that time the reservoir is nearly isothermal. So it's never really made sense to use the lower Rs because they don't come into play until it's practically winter time. In 2015, we found ourselves very low very early, and so we had an opportunity to test their use and also cool off the river, and so we did so. But in most years, we wouldn't be able to use those until mid-November. And by then, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, but in the future, with the selective withdrawal structure in place, we'll have all of that flexibility.
All right. So, does that path forward sound reasonable to everybody? Kind of kicking the can a little bit, but not too far out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll just have to get a list of names of all the folks there.
Yeah, I just basically
send it out to everybody.
Well, I didn't do everyone. I just thought who might be, you know, interested, pertinent, willing to participate, have the time.
Yeah.
But I think having like Anne has expressed interest, and then Elise and Greg for sure, and I don't know, Cam maybe. Seems like those folks that have the data and the
smarts. And then it's always a balance of of having the right people with not getting the group too large.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was a really good discussion in the Middle Fork. Having a breakout session and kind of talking through things. So I think we modeled after that.
Who coordinated that?
Dan did.
He led it?
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk to him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I had in regards to kind of what I thought we wanted to talk about, not knowing kind of where we're going. So anything to add on the phone? All right, with that, we'll adjourn. I'll send out an announcement for the next Wolf Poem and then a doodle for our next North Sanium Temperature Target Work Group. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
All right.
What are these meetings? They're so short.
I know, right? Yeah, I know.
Just getting used to it, being involved with the Willamette, with H&T.
Yeah.
That's where we kind of did all this stuff.
Right. This is all, it's like sort of repetitive. We've
and now
done that.
We're transitioning and we'll see where HMT, what happens there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it makes sense maybe to have the HMT on occasion as needed to discuss those more
the
in-depth
details,
things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's been talk for years about not having that group meet as often.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think unless there's things really going on, it makes sense to every other month or even every two, something.
Well, especially with this forum.
Right, there's
going to
be a lot of...
I like the updates, though.
Yeah.
They're nice.
Updates are good, but they're certainly going to end up gaining a lot of redundancy, especially with same people sitting on the same panels.
And I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot.
Well, because a lot of this, we discussed the exact same stuff at HMT last week, you know.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. I like this meeting room.
The only thing I don't like is the phone.
It's. I think it is the phone because everybody was coming in.
It doesn't have
choppy.
Those.
Yeah.
The things come off.
Yeah. But I think too, like everyone was. It got to the point where everyone was coming in
mm-hmm.
kind of staticky.
Yeah, all the background noise maybe affected it.